Thanks be to God.
Amen. So we're finishing up the last in a three-part sermon series about the three simple rules of United Methodism. Bishop Reuben Jobe, the late Bishop Jobe, has written a book about this, and the rules are quite simple, based on John Wesley's rules: do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. So let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as I said earlier to the children, I've always been one to ask the question, why? And I remember when I was growing up, when I was about four, five, six, learning to read, my grandparents used to take me to Wendy's restaurant. It was kind of a new thing then, but of course I love the fact that it was Wendy's, right? And as I was learning to read, you know, on the sign, there was the picture of the little girl with the braids and the name Wendy's, W-E-N-D-Y apostrophe S. And my grandmother used to laugh and tell the story about how I would look up at the sign and I would spell out my name, W-E-N-D-Y. And I would get to the S and I would say, Nana, why is there an S? There's not an S in my name. The question, why? Maybe you've heard this story. It's sort of apocryphal, but there was a little girl watching her mother prepare the ham for a family dinner. She noticed that her mother cut off a portion of the end of the ham to fit it, or to put it into the oven and into the pan before she put it in the oven. And the little girl asked, "Why do you cut off that end of the ham, Mama?" And the mama said, "Well, that's a good question. That's the way my mother taught me to do it. I guess she always did it this way. Ask her." So the little girl goes into the living room where some of the family is gathered, and the grandmother is sitting there, and the little girl says, "Grandma, why does Mom and why did you cut off the end of the ham to put it into the oven in the pan?" And the grandma says, "Well, I don't know. You know, that's the way my mother always did it. Maybe you should go and ask her." So the little girl goes into the dining room where another portion of the family is gathered for the family dinner, and she goes up to the great-grandma, and she's like, "Granny," she says, "you know, Mom was cutting off the end of the ham before she put it in the pan to put it in the oven, and she said that her mom always did it that way, and Grandma said that you always did it that way. Why did you do it that way? Why? Can you tell me?" And the great-grandmother replies, "Oh, that's easy. It wouldn't fit into my pan any other way." So John Wesley's rule number three, believe it or not, this does relate, is sometimes called stay in love with God, also known as attend to the ordinances of God. It contains a lot of what. These are the things you should do. But what about the question, why? Why should we do them? Take number one, for example. Here's the list here. The public worship of God. What we're doing today, right? Some of us have had the experience, perhaps, of either as a teenager feeling like we're being dragged to church, or perhaps sometimes dragging children or teenagers to church at some point or another. The what is there, but sometimes it doesn't make sense for the next generation. Why do we have to go, you may have heard at your house? Do you have a good answer to that? Way back in the early 1700s, when Methodist founder John Wesley was organizing folks into small groups and societies and such to hold one another accountable, folks were very clear about why they needed to go to church, why they needed to listen to sermons, why Holy Communion was important. And in the language of the day, it was important because they wanted to flee from the wrath to come. In other words, they were very concerned, frankly, about going to hell after they died, and they wanted to do the right thing in order to avoid that. We might not phrase it like that in this day and age, right? But most of us are concerned about things that are here and now, things that we want to flee right now, even today. You can probably think of those in your own life: stress, depression, fear, loneliness, illness. Cancer is the big one for many of us. And for many of us, the answer to why we come to church is found there, because we want to know how to live in the midst of this suffering that we sometimes experience, how to have the strength to get up every morning, and not just to live and to get strength, but to find meaning and joy, to find something that shapes us and molds us into the kind of people we want to be. And also, we come because we want community, and we want to know that we are not alone in this struggle of life and this path of following Jesus. So why do you come to church? You might think about that question this week, or if you have young kids, think about it with them. Why do you pray? Why do you or do you not study the Bible? Why do you take Holy Communion? I suspect the real honest answers to those questions would tell us a lot about what's working in the church, not just in this church, but in the wider church, and what's helping us to stay in love with God, and what might be getting in the way of that. For John Wesley, the answer to the question of why was simple. By doing the things on this list, you see there the public worship of God, the ministry of the word, the Lord's Supper, what we call Holy Communion, family and private prayer, searching the scriptures, fasting or abstinence, of course, do good and do no harm, and all the acts of service and mission are in that list as well. But in doing this, early Methodists had a chance to experience God's grace, to be drawn closer into God's love. And because those are ways we come to understand better God's love for us and for our world, John Wesley created these three simple rules as a way for people involved in this early Methodist movement to hold one another accountable, to watch over one another in love, and to allow each other to experience God's grace. This third rule is much more concrete than the other two. Do good or do no harm. That can mean a lot of different things, but this is a list of things. We sometimes talk about them as practices of faith, things we do that shape us, that mold us, prayer, worship, study. Other things not on this list can help us grow as Christians today. John Wesley didn't have access to all that, or perhaps think about that in quite the same way we do now, but listening to music can help us stay in love with God. Exercise, taking care of our bodies, can help us stay in love with God. Conversation with a trusted friend can draw us closer into God's love. Reading, many things have the power to draw us closer to God if we know the why behind why we do them. So to our scripture for today. It's a familiar one, right? The story of Peter and Jesus. It occurs after Jesus had risen from the dead and is making one of what we call the resurrection appearances to the disciples. Just before our reading for today, we hear that the risen Jesus has taken the disciples fishing. Many of you like to have been on that trip, right? And they are now sitting around this charcoal fire, cooking fish for breakfast and talking. Peter is perhaps somewhat quiet, hoping to kind of fly under the radar of Jesus' gaze. But suddenly Jesus turns, and he looks him right in the eye and says, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," Peter says. And Jesus says to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he says to him, "Peter, Simon, son of John, Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep." A third time Jesus turned to him, do you love me? And this time Peter was hurt, impatient even. "Lord, you know everything." "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Then Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." I've often wondered why Jesus kept asking Peter this question over and over. Have you ever wondered that? Until he got exasperated. And then one day I realized maybe it's because Peter, remember, he's the same one who denied Jesus three times. He's the same one that was standing around the fire on the night of Jesus' last evening here on earth. And someone came up to him, "Do you know that man?" Talking about Jesus. And Peter said, "No." Do you remember that story? "Do you know that man?" Somebody said, "I know I saw you with him." And Peter said, "No." And again he was asked, "Do you know that man?" And Peter said, "No." The 21st and the last chapter of John is considered by some scholars to be a later addition to the story of Jesus. And Peter, of course, being one of the most famous of the 12 disciples. And so this chapter was written in part to explain how Peter was redeemed by Jesus, set free from this grievous sin of denying Jesus, set free and given the commandment to tend my sheep and feed my sheep and feed my lambs. John Wesley might say, "Do you love God? Then go to church. Study the Bible, pray regularly, take Holy Communion." Why? Because done over time, these are the things that will lead you into the grace of God. They will sustain you for the hard times. They will help you understand more clearly the ways of God. They are what we like to call in the Methodist world a means of grace. And why? Because we need grace, don't we? We need that love given to us when we least deserve it and when we don't deserve it at all. I need only to look at the, actually, next slide, thank you. I need only to look at pictures like these. This one here, recognize those faces at the Pads dinner last Friday night? And when I see pictures like these, it helps me answer some of the question of why I come to church. Why we raise our children in the church. Because this is where we learn that means of grace, where we learn to feed the hungry. Disciple Bible study and other studies like that, pastor's Bible study, because this is where we learn the stories of faith and we pray for one another. Recognize that picture on Christmas Eve, because this is where we experience the joy of being with one another, of community, the gift of music. If you were there that night, you may remember the hope that you felt when either hearing or singing with the Hallelujah chorus. Sometimes the what in churches does need to be changed. Maybe we don't, one of the things listed there was fasting as a way to stay in love with God. Maybe we don't fast from food anymore. In this age of dieting and such, that can get tricky at times. Maybe we abstain from our iPhones instead or from TV. Maybe we don't worship in quite the same way it was done when we were growing up. Maybe we don't spend Sunday afternoons in total quiet on the Sabbath, but we find new ways of honoring God by doing a project together as a family or inviting friends over for a real good meal in our home. Maybe we sing some of the old hymns and we love them dearly, but maybe some of them don't speak so much to a new generation. Maybe we don't need to cut the end off the ham anymore. But the answer to why, no matter what the what is, I believe is still the same. We are called to worship and study and pray and serve the poor and observe the Sabbath and all those things that God wants us to do. Because, and hear this phrase, I love this phrase that John Wesley said, we are called to watch over one another in love. To watch over one another in love. To do the things that help us to stay in love with God, to know that love and to share that love. One of my favorite sayings from a friend of mine is, God loves us and there's nothing we can do about it. God loves us, and there's nothing we can do about it. And love is what Jesus was all about when he gave his life over and over and over again, not just on the cross, but in the way that he lived. Love is what it's all about in the end. Do you love me? Jesus asks. And his question echoes down through the ages to you and me. Do you love me? He asks again of Peter and of us, redeeming everything we have ever done wrong. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that we love you. Then feed my sheep. Do no harm. Do good. Stay in love with God. May it be so for you and for me, for the sake of our church, for the sake of the world. Amen.